Love is your decision. Leaning in, acknowledging my pain, there's a gift here somewhere. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And this month, as we're looking at what's true for me about challenges in life and how I respond to them. So here's one that I want you to think about. Acknowledging your pain. And when you are experiencing emotional pain or physical pain, do you think about it from there's a gift here somewhere? Is that where you go automatically? It certainly isn't for me. And you know, it's interesting. I want to share something with you that was a real awareness for me this week, speaking about physical pain. And it came from my wonderful husband, Reverend Randy Armstrong, who asked me a question, which is something that he does a lot. And they're not simple little questions. They're usually pretty profound. And he said to me, or asked me this question, do you have a belief system that you're not going to get better? And I stopped in my tracks. Because I've been experiencing pain, had been experiencing pain for probably about 10 years. And it started with the very beginnings of an arthritis in my hip. And it progressively got worse and worse and worse. And no matter how much medication I took, it did not even touch the pain. And I found out last year that it was bone on bone, and that's why I was experiencing the kind of pain that I was experiencing. But the side effect of that was that I had the surgery, and the hip got better, and there was no more pain in the hip. But I started to feel pain in other places, like my knees, sometimes eeky creaky in other parts of my body. And I didn't realize, I didn't ask myself the question that did I expect to get better or not? I somehow in my subconscious believed that the pain that I was feeling was the same as that hip pain, and that it was only going to get worse rather than get better. And I was not allowing any other type of way of thinking or being to come into my being, because on this unconscious level for me, I thought, okay, this pain I'm experiencing is going to be like that hip pain. And until something radical happens, like a surgical intervention, that I'm only going to get worse and worse. And so do you have something in your life that is underneath what's going on that you have decided that you believe it and that it's actually not the truth of who you are? And so let's go into digging for the gift. So this week, we acknowledge those unexpected times when everything seems to have turned upside down. In honoring and leaning into any situation, our pain, for instance, we become willing to learn from it as we treat ourselves with loving kindness, coming to know that we truly are whole, perfect, and complete at a deeper level. So let's look at the reality gap, contemplate our feelings, and finding the treasure. And so let's begin with the reality gap. So in Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And you know, in the depths of despair, emotional or physical, whatever that pain might be, it's really hard to remember God as the number one thing, isn't it? And yet I invite you to get so good with your spiritual practice that the first place that you go when something terrible happens or you feel awful or you're having an emotional crisis, to just open up to spirit just for a moment and say, what is there to be afraid of if I allow spirit in to help to guide me through this? In Isaiah 41:13, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And yet there's something else in the Bible that says, ask and the door shall be open. So you and I need to begin by asking for that guidance, for that hand, for that support when there's something going on. And I know it sounds so simple to say it, but I know, like you, when I'm in the middle of a crisis, it is not necessarily my go-to place. But I invite you, as we move forward in this month, in this year, that we lean into remembering that Spirit is there, always ready to support, to guide, to love, and even to bring relief in ways that you could never even imagine. So the reality gap is basically the idea of what you want to be having happen and what's actually happening. And so let's look at that and the different stages that you might go through when you're in this gap between realities. So whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you have chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. Make it your friend and ally, not your enemy. This will miraculously transform your whole life. This was Eckhart Tolle who said that. And you know, it's great wisdom there, isn't it? Is to say, let's say you're having a crisis, to say, what is the gift here? How can this be my friend? And then allow whatever bubbles up to start to transform your life. The reality gap is truly the one side is the reality that we have, and the other side is the reality that we want. And the bigger that gap is between those two realities, the more painful the feelings are, like envy, jealousy, fear, disappointment, shock, grief, sadness, anger, anxiety, outrage, dread, guilt, resentment, perhaps even hatred, despair, and disgust. And those are awful feelings to have. That's sort of like what I call the rabbit hole, where something has happened and you're in the rabbit hole. And yet you know that all you have to do is get out of the rabbit hole to not be in that place. But somehow it's just so dark and so overwhelming that it can be difficult to jump out of there, can't it? The slap is usually over quickly, yet the gap can persist for days, weeks, months, years, and even decades. And I call it the slap because it's a shock usually. It's not gradual like the pain that I was talking about. It might be a situation that happens and you are just knocked over. And it really feels like a slap. And it can be momentary, and yet you can go for years and years and years carrying that feeling. I remember an Italian barber in the city that I came from, and he had the most wondrous marriage. She was a fabulous teacher, and he had his own business with a barber shop and multiple employees. And at the age of 30, she died. She died of cancer within a matter of 6 weeks. And she was the love of his life. And I remember meeting him probably when he was around 50. So it was easily 20 years after she had passed. And he was still living the grief and the shock and the despair that had happened as though her death was right then and there. And I remember wondering, why is it that he can't seem to overcome that pain and start a new life? And I don't have the answer for you, other than that I know that it's a choice. And when you're able to recognize that you are in that rabbit hole, and that you're actually deciding to stay there rather than to climb out, that's when shift starts to happen. So you will almost certainly go through some of these stages. And let's just look at them. So denial is the first one. And I think the gentleman that I was speaking about was in this first phase, this phase of denial, where it refers to a conscious or unconscious refusal or inability to acknowledge the reality of the situation. And you've been there, I know you have, where you say, like, I just can't believe that this has happened. And then we move into this phase called bargaining, which means attempting to strike deals that will alter reality. So this might include anything from asking God for a reprieve, like, oh, well, I'll be really, really good. I will not do those stupid things again. If you could just change things for me. And it might be like asking a surgeon to guarantee that the operation will be successful. He doesn't know. He's going to say, I'm going to do the best that I can. But they always tell you, these are the things that might go wrong. Wishful thinking, like, if only this had happened, or if only that had happened, are also evidence of bargaining. And I know I've been there. You've been there. Are you there right now about something? If only this hadn't happened, or if only that had happened. And then there's the phase of depression. And I think that gentleman that I was speaking about earlier went between denial and depression. And this stage is misnamed. It doesn't mean experiencing the same common clinical disorder of the same name. It refers to the normal emotions of sadness, of sorrow, of regret, of fear, of anxiety, and this level of uncertainty, and their normal reactions to trauma and to loss. They're not a clinical depression that requires drugs to bring your chemical balance back. They are normal and natural, and perhaps you're experiencing a level of depression, or you have, and you remember how you went through it, and then one day you weren't there anymore in that depressed state. And finally, there is the acceptance stage, which involves making peace with that reality gap instead of struggling or trying to avoid it. And the acceptance that, yeah, that was my reality, but I choose differently now. And this is how I choose to move forward. And if you're not sure how to move forward, to say, Spirit, guide me, lead me, fill my consciousness with all the right ideas I need to move forward. I accept that that has happened. I accept that that is in my past. And I now allow something newer and greater to unfold. So no one else can grow for us. We must each grow for ourselves. Thomas Troward said that. And he has a couple of wonderful books. They're his lectures, the Edinburgh lectures. And if you want to read some really long sentences, Thomas Troward has them, and some really great ideas. And the thing is that no one else can pull us out of whatever situation we're in. No one can take our joy from us, and no one can take our feeling of being in a rabbit hole either. We have to choose that ourselves. So let's contemplate our feelings here. Contemplate the feelings about challenges that have occurred in your life. So think about and allow the idea of a challenge to come up. Perhaps it was this past year, and maybe it had to do with getting through this isolation or the fear around catching this virus that has killed so many people. And so it may include challenges in the lives of your loved ones, changes in relationships. Maybe it's illness or financial instability. Maybe it's addiction or the loss of a job or anything else that comes up for you. And just think about the feelings that you're having. And perhaps at this point you can even identify what stage you're at in terms of that reality. What emotions call to be acknowledged? Is it fear, resentment, anger, guilt, disappointment, hopelessness? I know when I had the pain in my hip, It got to the point where it was hopelessness. And I know that as I have experienced some of the pain in my body in most recent times, and that profound question that Reverend Randy asked me last week, that at times I had resigned to the fact that I was just going to be in pain all the time, and that because I was already in my 60s, that it was going to continue to get worse. The thing is that that doesn't have to be true for me, and it doesn't have to be true for you. And so where are you in acknowledging your emotions? Express them, feel them, and then take them like you would in a beautiful box and just set them aside and say, you know what, I can pick those up anytime I like, but right now I'm going to move forward with hope, with anticipation, and knowing that I'm going to be guided. So have I been able to be gentle with myself, acknowledging my pain? I certainly wasn't. I am now. And how? Well, it came to me through that question that Reverend Randy asked me. So have you been gentle with yourself in acknowledging the situation that you're in, and maybe it's emotional pain, maybe it's frustration or struggle? How can you be gentle with yourself? What might you do right now to be gentle? So here's some ideas that I have, some steps that you can take. Hold yourself kindly, like that song, like a newborn baby child, and really just hug yourself. Why don't you take a moment and just wrap your arms around you and just hug yourself and say, I love you. I love you. How can you support and comfort yourself? How can you handle your painful thoughts and feelings effectively so they have less impact in your life? Maybe it's not only holding yourself, maybe it's journaling. Something will come up for you. Step two, drop the anchor. So here's an idea. If the storm hits, you must drop the anchor and ground yourself so that you can take effective action. And that is, in the middle of it, to just stop and say, what's mine to do right now? What can I do? It doesn't get rid of the storm to drop the anchor and to just stop, but it gives you a chance to take a breath, to take a look at what's really going on, and to just feel like you're in control again, because ultimately you are. So what can you do right now, if it's a crisis or a challenge right now, to drop the anchor? And then step three, to take a stand. And that is that after you've stopped in the middle of this thing that's going on, and you have looked at it and you've asked for guidance, then to make a decision, take a stand, and move in that particular direction. What do you want to stand for in this crisis? Am I going to be a victim? Am I going to resign myself to the fact that this now defines me? Or am I going to move forward saying, yes, that occurred, and I am more aware, more compassionate, and love myself even more, and I'm going to move forward knowing that I am more powerful than I thought I was. You can't undo whatever has happened, but you can choose your attitude and take that new attitude and move forward. You can stand up for giving up on life. You can stand up for something that really matters deep in your heart, something that honors your suffering and gives you the will and courage to move on. And what might that be? I don't have that answer for you. Only you do. But don't give up. Keep going. Keep going, because Spirit says yes. When you say, guide me, lift me out of this, Spirit says yes. There is a way. But the moment that you take a stand, you also experience vitality. There is something about making a decision. There is something so powerful about that. And you may not have the reality that you want, but you do have the satisfaction of living with purpose. You do have the satisfaction of recognizing that you get to choose. Are you a victim or a volunteer? So finding the treasure. Once you put the first three steps into practice, you will be in a very different space mentally. Can you imagine that? Like as soon as you say, you know what, I'm going to be in the eye of the storm right now. I'm going to be in this calm place. And things can be whirling around, and it might be finances, it might be the pain, it might be an emotional crisis, it might be a death, something like that, to be able to sit in it and have clarity of purpose and know that you can choose. From this space, you'll be able to find and appreciate the many treasures that life has to offer. And I know it's difficult when you're in the middle of something that's really challenging to say that there's a treasure here. But I invite you to think about something that happened in the past that you have overcome. And you are that treasure that came out of that situation. So why don't you say that with me? I am the treasure. I am the treasure that came from that past experience. Finding the treasure may seem impossible, especially if you're currently in the midst of a great anxiety. But it's not impossible. Anything is possible, especially when you let spirit be your guide. So finding the treasure is the final step in your journey, to find the treasure buried beneath all your pain. That doesn't mean denying the pain or trying to pretend that it doesn't hurt, because that's almost impossible to do. Rather, it means acknowledging that the pain is there and also to appreciate all that life has to offer. And sometimes it means, how do I live with this new reality and move forward from that? I remember a minister that I saw on a video. I actually had never met her in person. And she came onto the stage in a wheelchair, and she very carefully got up and went to the microphone. And she said to the congregation, I know you're all looking at me and feeling really, really sorry for me right now. She says, I've been a year getting to this level of mobility. I had a stroke a year ago, and many of you thought that I would never overcome it. And I spent that year in meditation and prayer and rehabilitation, getting myself to the stage of the game where I could get up and stand in front of you again. But don't feel sorry for me, because in those meditations, what I came to understand was that I had been praying vigorously and strongly and with all the power that I had, that I wanted a personal and intimate relationship with spirit. And you know what I got in this past year when I was forced to slow down? A personal and intimate relationship with spirit. Now, I don't invite any of you to experience life the way that I did, to have the intimate experience. And she went on to say, you know, you can choose to not have to make it difficult to have what you desire. So are you willing to let go of it needing to be something that is physically a challenge for you? Or are you willing to allow it to just come to you in an easy and gentle way? It's just a question. So leaning in, acknowledging my pain, there's a gift here somewhere. There is a gift in all of life, in all challenges. And whatever it is that you're experiencing right now, know that it is not over. Do not give up. Move forward and know that something good is about to occur. Only if you allow it only if you ask for it, only if you're willing to accept it. So say, I accept it now. There's a gift here somewhere. And so it is. So let's anchor this with Start Living by Dedri Francois.
Passenger in your life claimed nothing as your own. Are you lonely? Close the door to the world. Seen it all unfold, and time has passed you by. Don't be afraid. Trust a voice in your heart. My gift to you is peace and happiness. Just start living. Oh, start living. Life is here, so live right now. Ooh. Live.